AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me, as always, in the studio is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout-out. He can't. He's currently being walked by the dog walker due to construction around the High and Mighty studio. Too much information that does not matter to you. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studio is recurring guest, Gregor's third episode, Doug's second episode. Yeah, third?
No, third.
Oh, shit, dude. We got right. Gregor and Mand, a.k.a. Dan Gregor, a.k.a. Doug Mand, writers, directors, actors in the film Most Likely to Murder, amongst a number of other things. But new film in your internets now. Most Likely to Murder. Check it out on demand. iTunes. Which one's best for you guys?
iTunes is the best one for us. But you can get it
anywhere.
You
but get however it, the fuck you want.
However you want to get it. You can get it at Walmart while you're picking up a gun.
Oh, yeah. Redbox.
Redbox.
You can get Redbox. Never done Redbox.
I've never done Redbox. No, maybe I should get your movie from Redbox just to try.
There's one at Gelson's. There's one at the Vons in Silver
Lake. So you rent from, you take out a physical DVD and they just have all your information and then you just put it back.
Yeah, I feel like it's Netflix, but instead of your mailbox, you got a vending machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like old Netflix.
This, we sound like the, like bougiest people ever. Yeah. It's like, so you hold a DVD in your hand.
But don't haven't other people touch the DVD?
You had to touch the screen too?
No, thank you.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah. Is it near the public restroom where I have to ask someone for the key? Because that's what I'm doing there.
at the Gelson's?
I've shit at that Gelson's. The Gelson's in Franklin. I have shit at.
Do you need to ask for a key there?
You did for a while.
No longer.
And now you no longer
do. And the new Doug policy is just don't even talk to that
guy. You know
what?
There's a problem, though. I wish you did have to ask for it because now people are just straight living in there. Like,
wait a minute. Are you turning your nose up at the other shitters?
I'm turning my nose up at homelessness in a terrible way.
Hey, I'm shitting in there is one thing, but guys washing their feet in the sink is like another.
Because I'm willing to pay $5.50 a pound for a gal
of
apples.
Oh, yeah. I thought you wanted to pay per pound of shit.
I would pay per pound of shit.
Dude, that was like, I wanted to invent that for like music festivals and stuff, like a paid, like, imagine you can get like a city bike of toilets.
Oh.
And
it's like a better experience.
Yeah, and it's like you can book it for a half hour. You know no one can come in.
You can book a toilet for half an hour.
Well, like if you need to, like, maybe
at
there's
a festival.
A, yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I like a VIP bathroom experience. I'm sure they have it at Coachella. It's just with the, you don't actually buy it. It's just like if you're famous.
It's built into something. Yeah. When I was in, where was I with Tiff? We were in a mall in Paris and there was like a place. She's like, oh, here's a public restroom. Can I use the bathroom? They were like, sure. €3 or whatever. And Tiff's like, what? And then you found out, like, you saw it was like, do you want like a bigger room with a shower in it? Do you want private? And it was like all these like premium toilet paper.
Was it just a place for bathrooms? Like,
yes.
That's great.
You went to a public restroom store basically?
Yeah. Like, yeah, you went and you paid to use their bathrooms.
The Poopatorium. It's great. Yeah.
I'm totally into that. I'm totally into
Mr. Megorium's Wonder Poopatorium.
Yeah.
I went to a beer festival where that was like part of the VIP pass was like indoor bathroom. It was like
the smell is
baking. It was number
inside.
4 on the list where it was like, this is what you're getting with your VIP pass.
You're like, nah, I'm in.
I'm in. Yeah, I bought it.
a friend of mine and I were saying that the other day. It's like, it's so sad when you get to be like disposable income even a little bit, you're just like, okay, what's the maximum experience, like what's like, yeah. I don't want to miss out on gold level versus platinum level. Platinum level gets you 2 drinks. All right, platinum level.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I just want, I don't want to be the guy who's gold and then see a platinum.
That would be a nightmare.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck how well I just need to know I'm doing better than other people.
I want to wait in whatever line less than someone.
Yeah, there was some crazy study done the other day where it was like, would you rather make make $200,000, but everyone around you makes $300,000, or would you rather make $100,000 and everyone around you makes $50,000? And an overwhelming number of people, some sort of numbers like that, overwhelming number of people prioritize doing better than
interesting.
They took literally less money to be doing better.
No,
than
in your example, they took the same amount of money.
No, they took less.
No, it was $200,000 or $100,000.
Oh, you said $200,000. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They took $100,000 just as long as all their friends made $50,000.
Yes.
Oh, that's insane.
And you can make $200,000, everyone else made $300,000.
Oh, that's so
I know.
Crazy.
I mean, I'd rather have more money.
Yeah.
Wait, really? You think that?
I know that.
But like,
I already live in a world where everyone, like almost everyone I'm around,
yeah, but
has more money.
That's all you ever think about is like how much other people are making.
Yeah, but the thing I think about probably just as much is how much am I making.
But I'm saying, but you don't think that like you're a living proof of this exact concept, which is that like you're making.
I know what you think I am now.
Say it, Doug.
Because I already feel like I'm living that way.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I think I've come more to grips with it. Look, it's also part of my whole shtick. No, actually, I am a nightmare about money. But no, I think I'd rather have more money at this point.
I don't know.
I've already accepted the fact that there are most people in my life are like, and so many, and I'm very lucky, but so many of my close friends are like wildly successful. So, and that I won't achieve that level of success. So I'd just like to up my quote a little bit then too.
If I may.
Yeah. I'm just not going, you know.
Sell a couple of Duty Calls t-shirts. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. I'm fucking trying.
Hey, bro, you're telling me.
We just got our first, this shouldn't be on here. We just got our first notification that we're going to do ads on Duty Calls.
Ooh. Hey, by the way, also, we can plug Duty Calls on the HeadGum Network. Give a listen to a fellow podcaster. Right, you came on to talk about poop. I remember now.
Yeah.
You and Jack.
Craps and crabs.
The usual.
Oh, that's great.
We managed to have a text thread going that was talking about shitting, weed, and money at the same time. And that's like the three topics we talk about.
And I swerved off the road and had an orgasm because it was just,
I was like, fuck, man, I wish I could. Because one of my favorite things to do is to open up SAG-AFTRA envelopes. Because I always send
and
you my
text to me.
And I text you. But it's always on the bathroom floor.
I don't think you know
this.
I'm
not on this name.
Whenever he gets a SAG-AFTRA like residuals, and they come usually like in bulk.
They come like 8 at a time.
He'll take a picture of them on the ground, and then he'll be like, How much do we think's here?
Yeah. And then it's always like,
it's always way less.
$4.75.
And I'm always like, I'm always so hopeful. I'm like, nah, what did you do? What movie did you do? Like,
yeah, let's see. You can kind of start to tell by the number of them. When it's like seven residuals checks, I think I did seven episodes of the TV show Younger. Mm-hmm. So I know it's right. going to be that. Mm-hmm. But then it's like been long enough that it can't be that much.
Right.
But when it's like one solo envelope, I'm like, ooh, is that Bones? Because that thing keeps printing money.
Are you going to get residuals for the the Workaholics movie?
I think, I don't know how Netflix stuff works, but you get like maybe a new media buyout or something.
It's not great. That's what I've heard. But you should get something.
Right, a little something.
We haven't talked Bones. Very funny. We haven't talked Bones money yet.
Yeah, Bones money is pretty exciting.
Have you gotten some good ones?
I've gotten some good ones for a show that I did one thing in once. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It's the best. That's like just makes me want to be in like, I just want to do an NCIS.
Yeah, first of all, yeah.
All I think about when I get my Bones residuals checks is, what the fuck is Bones pulling in?
Oh my God.
What about Angel?
Oh my
Bones,
God.
The kid from Freaks and Geeks.
He's on a show right now. That guy cannot not be on a show.
Boreans?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went from Buffy to Angel to Bones to Seal Team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like most Navy SEALs are mid-50s.
He's like, in this one, what do you want to do, Dave Moranis? I feel like this conversation went this way. Like, what do you want to do next? He's like, I don't know. I kind of want to wear a bulletproof vest that's camouflage. Done. Season. Done. Like, it's like, I think it's all based on outfit for him.
Oh, I mean, that's so true.
Yeah.
I can't wait to, I mean, I keep thinking I'm aged out of ever playing like a soldier or like a badass.
Apparently
cop,
not.
But apparently,
you can hold on to that dream your whole life.
If you have a show that runs for 10 years, your next show can be you at any age being a fucking soldier.
I want to play a high school heartthrob.
50-year-old rookie cop.
I always wanted to be the quarterback in high school.
40-year-old new stand-up comic.
Yeah. Just making it.
Talking about something specific. Hi, Pete. So we were going to talk about Thanksgiving Eve, which is an important holiday for a lot of people. But before we get into our official topic, I'd like to read some negative reviews of the podcast real quick. And the way this works is, listeners, if you rate me 5 stars in the iTunes app or the podcast app and roast me in the comments, I will read them on the podcast. Isn't that so exciting for you? You get your temporary iTunes handle read out loud. Okay, I don't know what is going on here. Here we go. Holding for garbage truck. This is from MKW133. Subject title is, And then the review says, High and Mighty should be called Fat and Unfunny. GFY, Gabrus. Go fuck yourself, I guess. Okay, yeah. No, it's simple. You know, simple works.
He got his stuff on air.
Reviews.
Yeah, exactly. You fucking jerk off. This failed. Okay,
you have to read all of them?
What?
You have to read all of them. That's your obligation to yourself.
Yeah. I try to keep hitting most recent, and if I find new ones.
Great.
Although people are still roasting me.
Great.
People are still out there to do it. And I don't know if the star system actually helps your podcast at all, but I'm trying.
Wouldn't that be a bummer if you've been insulting yourself for years for nothing?
Because they don't explain how the algorithm works.
Yeah.
It might not be doing that much, except slowly beating me. So much so, someone messaged me on Instagram or Twitter, DM'd me, a listener, and was like, hey man, sounds like the roasts are like really starting to get to you. I just want you to know that like you're really funny and you're putting out like good content. Like someone, I was like, oh my God.
This is what happened when Jack and I were here. The first time Greg and I did this, you didn't do this.
Right, yeah.
So Jack and I experienced this and we were both really upset.
Because it's often about like dead dads and like lack of success.
But they're all mean. You're asking like be as cold and brutal as you can. And Jack and I were both like, this isn't healthy. And I remember even when we left being like, I don't think Gabriel should be doing that.
I don't know if I should be. Because also the thing I do, I shoot myself in the foot is, I bring up my biggest insecurities.
Oh, yeah, you're giving
often.
Everyone the ammunition.
So everyone is just like, clearly he's a little frustrated with where his career is.
Yeah.
So let's bring it up. Today, like the audition was running late and the casting director was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, yeah, well, I guess I'll push my podcast back ahead. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was like, oh no, I was being facetious that all I have to do today is a podcast.
No, I was being a shit to myself.
No. Trust me, I'm happy to be here. I have no idea if this show is good or if I'm good for it, but I'm so pumped to be invited. This is from Cam Function. And the title of the review is Absolute Waste of Time. Ron Harbis, eat too many Taco Bell. Hope fat joke is okay. 11 out of 10. My English is now better because I listen every week. Wow, a little meta there.
Yeah.
He does a shitty thing. I'm about ready to roast his fucking phonetics, and then boom, he hits me back. All right, here's last one. This is from Shard Good, Long Island Beach Trash.
Oh, my friend.
Ooh. Oh, that's an honorary title.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's my mom.
How does she know? This failed Long Island lifeguard won't shut up about the time he went to a party and drank 10 seltzers. While Mike Mitchell is more confident here than on his podcast with the robot, it's hard to say if it's doing anyone any good. Like a used diaper washed ashore on Cedar Beach. Our host is full of it. Oh, okay.
Okay. Did they call Nick Weiger a robot?
Nick Weiger cut?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. A lot of people who comment on my Instagram, my Twitter, are Comedy Bang Bang or Doughboys fans. Uh-huh. They know me from there. Right. So it's always like, it's like a picture of me at the Renaissance Fair with my wife. And like three of the comments are like, well, do you know the Long Island Railroad stops? I wonder if you shouted the Long Island. And the other one's like, did you eat 60 chicken nuggets? And it's like, guys, everyone just know. Like,
I'm multifaceted. You're
so much more. I'm so much more, but also just comment on the picture, or you know, or don't comment. Who people comment on Instagrams with not positive, not just saying like this baby is cute or I love that hat.
Like, when people use comments just to be like to start another conversation, and it happens a lot of times with like famous people and people who have fans. I'm just noticing it now. Like it doesn't happen to me, but like as I'm like begging people to tweet about our movie, like Finn Wolfhard tweeted our movie out.
Oh,
which was
awesome.
Huge.
That's
He's got
awesome.
1.9 million Twitter followers. And I was like, oh, I want to see.
On what? How does he? He's
done two movies with Pally, and he loves Pally.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
He's like, go see my friend's Adam Pally's new movie. And
that's so cool.
It immediately had 3,000 like favorites, 300 retweets, and like tons of comments. But most of the comments were, I love you.
Yeah.
And
most of them are, I love you.
Do
you go into the upside down there? Yeah, exactly. Shit like that.
Cast me in the next season. I would do anything to be with you. And then a couple were like, okay, I'll download it.
Yeah.
And I was like, sweet.
That's all you need is like a 1%
return
rate.
There were 10 people who were like, doing it now.
You're like, that's
power, real power. That can't fuck up a child.
Get me my lawyer. Hey, it's me, Mand. What'd you say my per movie rental fee was?
Because I know there's
1 cent. Okay, got it.
Well, there's 10 cents coming my way soon.
Minus your 5% cut, of course.
Yeah. And everyone else I'm paying 5% too.
And of course, I split it with my writing partner.
And then somehow my therapist would be getting 7% recently.
Seems low.
Yeah, that's good for you. That's a good deal. Guys, as always, rate me 5 stars. Roast me in the comments. I will read them. Now, let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving Eve.
A little pre-summer Thanksgiving conversation.
it's that time of year again, folks.
I would think it would be funny like to have come back like once a month and talk about Thanksgiving Eve. Because every year I do a Thanksgiving Eve power hour out here at UCB Sunset as part of the bring back the Thanksgiving Eve tradition. Because it sort of goes away once you're past college, right?
The Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
Once you're past going home, too, I think.
Yes.
Once you're past, it's a combination.
Yes.
Right. I guess if I were to still fly home for Thanksgiving,
I think
I would go
find
out
a way to go out and find whoever's left there to
get a
drink.
You lived in New York, wouldn't you go back home for Thanksgiving? Like, wouldn't you spend the weekend on Long Island?
Yeah, not always. You know, maybe I'd go home on Thursday.
Oh, really?
Or something
I would.
Like that. It's just like a 45-minute train ride.
Yeah, that's why I thought you
would. Before I was unable to spend more than 3 consecutive hours with my family.
I was just about to say, a huge part of it for me, too, is if I can knock a whole day off of a visit, I'll take it.
Exactly. Once I started emotionally taking care of myself.
So much about Thanksgiving Eve is, like, I think when you stop going back and, like, is when you really recognize, like, is it really worth getting drunk with all my friends? Is it worth all the fucking stress of being with my family for this many days?
Yeah,
it's
once
like,
I once I realized
you really
that was a
glorify
choice.
Like this, like these days, you're like, it's gonna be so great. I'm gonna see everyone and be back home, and then like, really, that's 11% of it, and the rest is your mom and your dad making
mad
you somehow
at you for
feel
sleeping in because you got so shit faced the night before. Yeah. You said something in the Q&A for Most Likely to Murder. You said Thanksgiving Eve was like Facebook before Facebook.
It was Gregor. He's like,
true.
I mean, like, because it just, especially like when we were going off to college, it was Facebook wasn't as really popularized just yet.
Yeah, because it was early 2000s.
It wasn't even around yet, actually. Yeah. And so,
like our freshman or sophomore year.
Sophomore year. And so, and it wasn't even like popularized until a little bit after college for us, I think. And so it was just really, you were losing touch with people. And so it was like this really weird, interesting way to like be like, oh, I remember, see that guy. Like, it definitely was.
It feels like such a perfect, because when you do the math of how it all sorts out. So say you go away to college, or you don't go away to college, but a lot of your friends do.
Right.
Senior year. Right. It's freshman year. Now it's like just about 2 months later.
Yeah.
And everyone's coming back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, guys, we were just all at college for 2 months. And now I know how awesome college is. You know, like,
right.
Who else knows how awesome college is?
Exactly.
Let's all just get, oh, so good to see you guys. But I'm a fucking king where I am. Hey, me too. I'm a fucking king.
But to that point, though, I feel like, what percentage of people are lying about that? Because I think, like,
freshman year is hard.
I mean, I think there were a couple. I think, like, I feel like the guys who went to, like, really big schools, like, they went to Wisconsin, I do think it was good in the beginning. Like, because it's, like, amazingly right away. You get drunk right away. There's so many people that not just seniors are having sex. Like, even freshmen are getting laid.
Yeah.
But, like, I went to Skidmore for 2 years. I came back and I was like, guys, I'm on Prozac now. You know, it's like, I discovered that there is too much weed to be smoked and it's cold all the time. And like, and I was like, but it's awesome. But it wasn't awesome. I was like, but it's like, you feel like you have to lie. There's so much lying that goes on.
Well, that's why it's also date. Like Facebook.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. You're just presenting your
Instagram. You're putting a filter on your fucking life. You know,
it's so true.
The truth is, I haven't gotten laid at all. And my roommate furiously masturbates every night when we go to sleep, and I can hear it.
Oh, no. Really?
Oh, my God. I was in a forced triple, which is a room for two people
with a third person
that they bunked. And there was a guy who, I remember his AIM screen name was Cheesy Bob. And he fucking, he was always in the room.
Yeah.
And it was the beginning of when also internet porn was like just like getting passed around and stuff. And we would turn the lights off.
Freshman year of college, when someone explains how the share drive works.
Oh, my God.
Like, all the computers are linked.
Yeah.
Go to, and like, we had this one.
And then one guy has it
he has terabytes somehow. He's the first, it's 2001, 2000.
There's no limit.
The only dude with an external hard drive you've ever met.
No porn ever to, he has 200 hours of it.
Right, yes. And you have to like download it and put it on your computer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Save your favorite clips and shit.
I still have some of those clips that I've like transferred to each Mac that I've bought. Like,
the image quality is so bad.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to masturbate.
I guarantee I have like a 5 gig Delta white. Yeah. Video that's like 1 inch by
with
1
Katie
inch.
Katie Morgan.
Somewhere in a something labeled schoolwork.
Yeah.
Oh, I just started labeling my folder porn.
You'd be like, and you know what? If you open it, you're in.
Yeah,
exactly. You're doing this to yourself at this point. It's funny. Part of the thing you were saying, like a lot of people are lying about those 2 months, and to dovetail two things we just talked about, part of the thing for me was going away for those first 2 months was being away from my parents and finding out, oh, I can have so much fun in life if I'm not dealing with them.
Right.
Oh my God. If my dad is not constantly telling me what to do, I actually can sort of, and I'm a big personality now. I'm like able to go and be like that. And I hooked up with girls like in the first couple of months of school. And I was like, this is easy. Because in college, girls, like, there is no stigma to, like, this is another thing. It's like, there's not that stigma you had in high school of, like, oh you fuck Doug Mand? In college, you're just Doug Mand.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh, that's Doug. Remember he shit himself in the elevator? Yeah. You know, like,
in fourth grade?
Somehow that followed me.
And that's one of those things. So then you sort of had 2 months to build yourself up.
Start being a new person.
And then you're like, I can't wait to go party with my bros now that I know how to play beer pong, now that I love Flip Cup, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you show up on Thanksgiving Eve and you just get... Should it be called Black Wednesday?
Because you black out?
Or because there's Black Fridays the day after? I don't know. You know?
Yeah. Gray Wednesday? Yeah. I don't know. Something.
It needs a name, right?
Yeah.
Big Wednesday is a name of a surfing movie with Gary Busey that it
could
make.
Well, that seems like the namesake of this day. Yeah.
Big Wednesday?
Definitely. Big Wednesday.
Going to have a Big Wednesday.
Yeah. I like that.
I also feel like there is, like, when you go home, and I mean, I'm still really close with lots of my high school friends, but you would, like, be like, oh, it's so great to see you. And then there'd be, like, 3 minutes in, you'd just be, like, recounting what happened in college, and they're like, and then silence. It'd be like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's
this
again,
is great. Yeah, this is so great.
Yeah, also sometimes it's like, so great to see you. You are 1/10 of the people who are currently in the circle. And it's only so great to see you.
Yeah,
there's like 9 people that come with you. Yeah.
That's also because that is when you really have started to be like, wait a minute, like half the people at least that I was hanging out with in high school suck.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Yes, there's that too.
I thank God I'm not here anymore.
Yes.
Because I'm so ready to not be here anymore. And you're sort of back in it and you're like, some of the people you love and you want to remain friends with, but like your high school friends as a group are not necessarily the people you're going to remain friends with forever.
There's a couple of second-tier people in there that you don't realize until you're like making new friends in college. And it's really a weird thing about college is that often the people you meet in like the first 2 weeks are your friends for 10 years.
Like sometimes. Like sometimes you get really close to the people you meet the first 2 days and you're like, we're going to do everything
mine
together.
Mine were silly. They were, I also went,
but mine were for my friends actually the whole time.
Same here. The guys I met like on, dudes I met on the, at orientation.
Yep.
I was like, oh, hey, we should meet up when we come to school. It's like, totally. One of the guys ended up living on my floor, my friend Nick. So me and Nick start talking. He's like, yeah, two guys I went to high school with who are good friends of mine, they live over here in Champagne. So I went over there, and their roommates were from Long Island, and we had like some mutual friends. And the next thing I know, I had seven friends who would then be my roommates sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to all their weddings.
Oh, wow.
And then it's like, we just happened to run into each other at orientation.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because then when you make college friends, you look at your high school friends and you go like, it's crazy. Of course, why was I trying so hard to be friends with that guy?
Yeah.
We just were in the same class. But then the thing just flips and it's the
same
shit.
Same exactly.
And my senior year, you're like, you realize who the second tier friends are.
Right, exactly.
Like,
yeah. Gonna start over again, moving to New York. I can find a whole new group of friends.
Then you get a job and then you do that same thing again.
Exactly.
And then you quit that job and then you never get another job again.
And then you're alone until you get married.
I had five friends from my high school that all went to Penn together. So that was interesting because like there's the one thing where you come back and you lie.
That's actually super, almost more
like,
fucked up.
And then you're like, who's telling the truth here? Like, they all know the truth, but they all have their own versions of the truth of what's really happening there. They can't all be super popular.
Right.
They can't all be killing it.
Yep.
And who's going to let the cat out of the bag with it? It's very weird. And they do hang out in Penn, but some of them don't completely. But then when we're all back together, they all do come out.
Oh,
it was very strange.
That's always weird, too, because like you're fucking partying with these guys in college, and then it's like, I just want to go home and see my high school friends. It's like, I guess
That's so funny you say that. You just brought up some rough memories for me, because I'm remembering now that like I had two friends. I went to Brandeis University my freshman year, and it was like so miserable.
Anyone was wondering if you're Jewish.
I'm so Jewish, and I was so miserable and so unhappy.
And then you proved that you were not a Jew by going to NYU next.
My parents had the money to save me.
You're like, Brandeis is too Jewish. Where can I go?
How about New York City?
I need to get a good bagel.
Cue the klezmer.
But like, it just reminded me, because I have not thought about this in years, that like I definitely had that moment with like two like acquaintances that I was like friendly enough with who also went to Brandeis, that like I was the loser who was not having a social life like freshman year at Brandeis. Mm-hmm. Like I was so alone, so depressed, and any of my social life was off campus at like BU and BC.
Or so you said.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a hot girlfriend. She goes to BU.
Did they do well? Were they like,
they were super popular.
They were everywhere.
They were like the kings of Brandeis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't remember you talking
they
about
that. They had a schmitz in their room.
I've never.
Oh, yeah. The coolest room. They did kind of like that Rodney Dangerfield thing. They turned two rooms, one into a schmitz room.
Yeah.
The other was a place for just shul.
A super Jewish Van Wilder. It was a really funny idea.
Oh, my God. Oh man, they had a whole smoked fish section of their fucking room.
But like, I remember very much like being like, "Oh, please don't out me as I'm like a lonely, sad like on campus like nobody." I don't think they did, but I don't know. I don't know what they were saying like when I wasn't.
They weren't doing
it
in front of your face.
There's an interesting phenomenon: a guy you're not really friends or a gal you're not really friends with goes to the same college as you.
Yes. That's interesting too.
And then you're like, they're like, every time you see him, you're like, Hey, there was like a girl who went to my high school who went to Marist, and she was like kind of cute or whatever, but I was like way past, and then every time I would see her, we weren't friends in high school at all, but I was cool at college and she was, I guess, maybe not that. So it was always like, hey, we've known each other for fucking 8 years. And I'm like, we're never friends.
Wait, was she
you
cool
don't get
in high
credit.
School though?
No, she wasn't.
She was always nice,
but she was a little cooler than me, at least in high school. Yeah.
I won.
You beat her.
Look at me now. I'm the coolest guy in the world. 36 years old.
She actually wrote one of those reviews. Right?
Yeah. Go fuck yourself, Gabrus. I'm cooler than you now.
Fair enough, Kelly. See you around, babe.
But please subscribe.
Yeah.
Just leave the 5 stars. Nobody knows if it matters.
You can download. You don't have to listen.
Is the Thanksgiving Eve thing is it nationwide?
I think it is. I think that I think I the experience
does
of,
it, is it a Northeast thing? Because it feels
well. Look, there's a. I don't know. I don't even know if it's just necessarily a college thing. I do think it's a big party night. I think it's because everyone is off the next day.
No, yeah, it's a national holiday. It's the night before national holiday. Yeah,
and so that that's why I do think that it probably is pretty widespread. It's definitely all over the East Coast.
It's like the end of a 3-day work week if you're not. Right. If you're
like, whereas like Christmas, there's an expectation of like something on Christmas Eve,
right?
Where it's like there's nothing. There's no such thing as Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah,
so you can get destroyed.
Right. Christmas Eve actually ended up becoming a really fun night in my town too because everyone would meet up once you were old enough. Like once you were in college, it's like anything you have to do with your family is done at 10 p.m.
Right,
right.
And then let's go meet at the bar at 10:30.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Christmas. We don't have to wake up. And then you're out Christmas Eve, and it's like, that's like your, like for people without jobs, that's like your work Christmas party.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, you see all your high school friends, you get shit-faced. The best part about Thanksgiving Eve, getting wasted.
Well, Christmas Eve as a Jew, for actually many years, I threw like a pretty big, like lonely Christmas party. It got a ton of Jews
like at
and
your house?
Hindus. No, I would like basically like rent out a bar.
You and, specifically would do it?
Yeah, me and Spiegel would do this like every year. And
like have like a Christmas Eve bash somewhere.
Yeah,
and
exactly. But
it
was just like every non-Jew went. I mean, every non-Christian went. Yeah. And it was like...
Which was basically most of the town.
Most of the city, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, where can you scare up some Long Islanders and some New York City
I'm just
people.
Imagining the scene from Field of Dreams where all the cars are lined up at the end to get into the field.
How many white BMWs?
Right. there's a lot of juicy sweatpants coming in here.
There's 40 Beccas waiting outside to get in here.
And they like totally need to get in now.
They all had deviated septum surgery in ninth grade.
It's weird. They all had...
That's so specific and accurate as hell. That was an amazing time in high school when the 6-month period where like 4 or 5 girls all showed up with like new noses.
Yeah. Like a lot of it happened after their bat mitzvahs. Like,
you get
a little cash influx. Then a couple of months later, I have to go get my
doctor says I'm not breathing correctly.
I'll never be
able to play sports.
Doctor says that my boobs are so small they're counter like they're messing up my weight, so I need to get them in. Like you just keep making that excuse as you get older and older. Doctor says my eyelids are pretty heavy, I gotta get them all lifted.
And I need to get some hair plugs because otherwise I'm gonna get sunburned.
Thanksgiving Eve, the real part of it that makes it really fun is when you're super hungover on Thanksgiving, you get to eat like a fucking gavone.
It's perfect.
Yeah, and you eat all day.
You could just graze.
It's just it never stops.
And you're allowed. My favorite part about it is just you're allowed to like just eat, sleep. Like just lie down for an hour, come back.
You eat dinner at like 3 p.m. And then you're that way you can have another dinner at 10 on white bread with mayo.
Mm. Oh. Best meal of the year. That's the my second favorite. Thanksgiving is the best meal of the year.
Tiffany, the
Thanksgiving
before
with you, you're very passionate about.
I'm very, very passionate about. But Tiffany, like 2 years ago, but not the Friendsgiving one we did with you, but her mom usually flies out here and Tiff makes an insane. One time her mom couldn't come out here. She still made a full like 25-pound bird for the two of us. So we had leftover. I ate like 50 turkey sandwiches. It was fucking awesome.
I mean, Thanksgiving is pretty important to me now at this age because my Thanksgiving dinners almost always sucked with my family. Like, like my aunt was immediately decided, she was like, you don't like turkey, and she made roasted chicken every year.
It's so weird.
And her husband, who she divorced my uncle, and then she got married a new guy, and he was, by the time the first like round of like food was done, he was already like bringing the trash bag around. He didn't want anyone in the house. The food was shitty. And so as soon as I got old enough to realize like, I don't have to go home for this, it was important to me that I was there were friends and that the food was really good and that turkey was really good. So I brine a turkey for 3 days.
I was
going to
say, you spatchcocked and brined the fucking
turkey. And I'm the king of the bird.
I was under the impression growing up that turkey just had to be dry or that I didn't like it or one of the two things, and it doesn't. People, it doesn't.
Turkey can be very good.
So now Thanksgiving this is really my favorite time of the year.
Oh. Well, I was going to say, Thanksgiving Eve changes once you have to host or cook Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're not going out again, shit-faced.
But it makes me feel like an adult, though, having Thanksgiving at my house. Like, in a good way. It's not one of those times where I'm like, I'm so old. It makes me feel like, this is a better part about being young.
There's that moment in not 40, what's funny people, when they have like the Friendsgiving, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, that is a true occurrence for groups of nomadic comedian people, mm-hmm. like Gregor hosted one time that I was at, and it was like, it's so nice to be around your friends, like to be like to play
be around,
adults.
Oh, to be around to people really you're actually thankful for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To like not be forced to be somewhere, to choose to go somewhere. Like, since we started hosting, it's been like a dream.
They're the best. Yeah. I remember very distinctly, I used to have great traditional Thanksgivings like with my uncle in like Richmond, Virginia, and it was the best. And then like somewhere like probably like end of high school or like not even like already in college, my parents like got into some fight with him and they didn't want to see him anymore. And so we started doing Thanksgiving with their fucking Israeli friends. And so it became Israeli Thanksgiving, which is very different. Like they have no respect
more
for
more smiling,
louder, more hummus.
I mean,
you know, usually you probably have, everyone has a good pound or two of hummus at Thanksgiving.
You don't understand the pile of tiny pickles.
Pickles, Israeli
pickles.
Israeli pickles.
Israeli.
It's just Israeli food.
There's no respect.
It's no respect.
There's literally there's turkey and then Israeli food and
whatever in the kitchen.
It's just such a bummer. You're like, where's any of the things I like about
it's
Thanksgiving?
Your classic falafel and pita Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was such a bummer. And they're
just
all
just as the pilgrims ate.
They're all miserable. So I really those years really put this deep longing of Thanksgiving in my heart, where I'm just like, oh, I need to have like a real Thanksgiving. It's so wonderful and so nice to like have that for real, because I went for so many years without it.
It's a combination of socially and also the food, because like all of us, when we do this, we take the food really seriously too. So
well,
it's like,
we take, when you get to be a certain age or a certain lifestyle, like I straight up said to someone the other day, it's like the reason you move to New York or LA or Austin or Chicago is because you just want more better restaurant choices. Like, it's true. Like a major part of it is like move to a city so that you have access to the best food.
My delivery options from like you use Caviar.
Yeah.
Caviar, the restaurants on Caviar are some of the best restaurants
everything.
In the country.
It's basically everything.
It's
and you
crazy.
Can have it brought to your
door. It's wild. I'm like obsessed with it.
It's pretty. John and Vinny's is on Caviar, which
it's
is
wild.
The only thing I use Caviar for is to order John and Vinny's.
I downloaded Caviar because I usually just do Postmates, but we wanted to do John and Vinny's. My friend was in from out of town. He's like, I hear John and Vinny's good. And I'd never really eaten there. Like,
me neither. I lived so close to it.
I did such an expensive order, and it took, and I was lucky we did it at 4:30. It came at 6:45.
Oh, great.
And it was so fucking good.
Their chicken parm is the
best. We didn't even do that.
I've eaten chicken parm everywhere.
That was a panic.
It's the fucking best.
I gotta get that.
They have a very good chicken parm.
It's really, really good.
All right, let's go. Let's
put an order
also,
in right
they
now.
Also, they did Super Bowl catering. All of the restaurants that those guys own, like Son of a Gun.
Well, they started out as caterers, those guys.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So they each one of those restaurants had Super Bowl menus. And I ordered, and John and Vinny's had one, and I ordered one for the Eagles Super Bowl, and it was
awesome.
Fantastic.
Can I tell you something really shameful right now? I am in the middle of a bit of a Caviar meltdown with customer service. My card got shut.
Again, just in case people were wondering if you weren't Jewish. I'm in a lifelong feud with a customer service rep.
You don't even
this is not good for what people think about Jews out here.
I've
done nothing but perpetuate the stereotype.
I don't care. It's true. It's a stereotype
they
for a reason.
Money, and I will not stand for this.
They shut down my credit card. Had some bank something flagged on it for fraudulent activity, and I didn't know about it. And I happened to order Caviar at the same moment, and so Caviar flagged my account as like false, and so now my credit card's fine, everything's fine, but they won't turn my account back on. But I don't know that they won't turn it back on. So I keep, you know how long you like belabor an order in these things?
Yeah.
So I keep like putting in like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, especially when I'm ordering for a group or something.
I'm like, okay, so okay, you
everyone
want
that? You want
side
that?
Salad? Should we split that? Yeah, you just keep
fucking
adding
20, 30 minutes.
No
of, like,
tomatoes on that one?
All right.
And then I'll get to the end where I'm like, order, and they're like, denied. And so like I'm literally in like this like email back and forth with their customer service where they won't turn my account back on, and I'm like, what do you mean? They're like you need to have your bank contact us. I'm like, who from my bank is gonna call Caviar?
Yeah, can I talk to the food delivery specialist at Bank of America?
It's killing me. It is killing
the guy
me.
Chase, like, yeah I'll get right on that. Yeah. Just leave the number here. Oh, fuck.
Actually, I work at Goldman Sachs. What do you do there? Well, I'm in charge of sort of you know, chasing down tips for Uber drivers.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole section.
Yeah, yeah.
I make $1.2 million a year, actually.
I'm in line to become the CEO.
Really lucrative.
My bonus this year was $900,000. What was your go-to Thanksgiving Eve traditions in college? Because you used to do it for, you know, it's like a six-year stretch probably where you're doing.
Well, it was like college. It was definitely still post-college. It was, I mean, the biggest things were just like, honestly,
was
just
it
like
house parties or bars? Is I guess
it was both. It was like a lot of like pre-gaming in people's basements, and then like,
and that's really fun because like now everyone's parents kind of okay with it. You
know, I
know.
Like,
where
it
it's like,
great.
Can they come over and we could just drink in the basement? We'll be quiet, and then we're gonna head out. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's
and then out to we went to Mulcahy's. Was it Mulcahy's? Yeah,
that's
right?
One over by that's. I walked there and back. Hundreds of Monday
times.
Nights.
That was a couple of them, and then I'm trying to. There was one a little bit closer to me in Rockville Center. That was.
Was it Churchill's?
Yes, that was it. Right.
Yeah, with all Churchill's. The beer taps, or Croxley's, the wing place.
Not Croxley's.
Churchill's was a big one. That one, Churchill's. Also had like the.
Croxley's in East Village too.
There's Croxley's East Village is three on Long Island too.
So good.
They're great wings.
Some of my favorite bar food.
Best wings in New York City, yeah.
But no, it was Churchill's, yeah. It was, yeah. And that place
Churchill's
was,
is a big one, yeah.
I love that. I mean, I didn't love any of these places, actually. I hated these places more than not. But, like, they were just part of, like, the routine.
Yeah, you realize, we had this bar on Sunrise Highway called Effin' Groovin' in Merrick that's now closed. But it was, like, it was sort of like a hippie bar that, and I got into it when I was young. It's like a beer snob bar. It was like a fancy beer bar. And they had, like, signs that said, they serve Bud Light at Mulcahy's. You know, like, the bartenders all wore shirts with the Budweiser logo with like the X through
it. Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really funny.
So immature.
Yeah. And they would like, if someone's like, oh, I don't know what I want, I just want something, they would always give them like they would give them like 10% alcohol barley wine or whatever. Like, nice try, asshole. But a friend of mine was a friend of mine's older brother who I started hanging out with was a regular there when we started going like senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And pretending to be 22 years old with our fake IDs, 17. And then that became the Wednesday night bar when we come home, be like, who's going to effing?
Right.
And it would just be everyone from our high school was jammed in this bar. And then eventually, senior year, the year after senior year, we were there and we're like, it was after senior year, the summer, we're there, me and my buddy Sanford and some other friends, we're like, we fucking graduated, dude. And you're like, graduated what, is what the bartender says. It's like, we realize we've been going to this bar for 5 years as 22-year-olds. And we were like, oh, we got our, and because one of the things we used to do at this bar was lie to everyone. We just like fabricated entire realities. And we were like, oh, we just got our master's. They're like, in what? And we're like, in English. And the partner's like, me? I have a master's in English. And we're like, oh, no, we can't
let's
get
let's start a periodical.
Yeah. So that fucking place was the dream. I drink Guinnesses or fucking, like, and Chimay. I remember being like, Chimay is expensive. I'll drink that.
Special Chimay glasses.
Yeah.
Yes, I love those.
A Belgian. Now I hate Belgian beer.
Do you?
Yeah, I do not. I'm not
that's
a fan.
That's my college, NYU, the village beer. I feel very fancy when I drink it.
You're moving your neck around a lot.
What was the Hogarden?
Hogarden.
Like they had that special big chunky glass.
Frambois.
That's the sweet raspberry.
Your wife still loves that.
Lambic.
My lady likes that.
Raspberry lambic. Ooh, my lady liked that frambois.
It basically just tastes like a melted lollipop.
It is. They used to do a thing called the annoying customer at F&G. Which was Guinness with like a big splash of the frambois in it, just to give it like a little.
Is that good?
It is.
That sounds fantastic.
It is, you know, because like Guinness mixes well with like champagne, cider.
It does.
Yeah,
like actually in it.
Yes.
Wow.
So like a lot, like there, I think the drink
it's
is
like
called
chocolate covered raspberry.
Yeah, exactly.
The champagne one is throwing me.
Yeah, that's called Black Velvet, and that's champagne, and it's funny that it actually does work a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't love it. Guinness and cider is called Snakebite. A lot of people like that. And then like the black and tan is like a Guinness and a pale ale works very well too.
That is
too.
Great. Yeah, I like that a lot.
I like the far less classy Bud Light with a splash of Sprite.
Ooh, really?
I never tried that.
I think it's called what is the name for it? My wife calls it beer Sprite. But it's
a Radler.
Is it a Shandy?
A Shandy or a Radler?
Radler's like the Isn't that in Germany? It's a great very daytime popular? Drink.
Also, because Sprite is so delicious, and yes. I realize I don't have it that much. So
right.
maybe
Radler's like beer and lemonade, right?
Yes, that's right.
That's Radler's beer and
lemonade. But in Europe, they call Sprite lemonade.
Oh.
That's why, yes, because I first had it in Germany. Yes. I first had that. Yeah. I ordered it by accident.
Right.
I was like, oh, I guess I'll have a... The beers weren't tapped yet at Oktoberfest. And I was like, oh, I'll have a lemonade. And I got like a big glass of Sprite. And I was like, isn't it funny, like the amount of garbage I could put in my body, but if I drink like a half a glass of soda, I'm like, I'm going to die.
That's how bad
I'm
soda
exploding.
Is. That says everything about what soda is.
Like, it's crazy that like I think about... Marist used to have 50-cent well drink night, a Thursday night at Rennie's.
That's just rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, and you tip a dollar. So for $2, you get two Jack and Cokes, right. or two whiskey and Cokes. So you need $8 to get eight, like, you know, you can get shit-faced. And then I realized, I was like, drinking eight Jack and, if not more, 12 Jack and Cokes a night.
Oh, God.
And the Jack is like the least harmful thing. No, I'm putting in my...
Coke is an industrial solvent.
Yeah, Coke is like the worst. And then the... Nasty bar ice is probably worse for me than...
As you're saying that story, I can feel my feet sticking to the floor. Like,
yes!
Like, and the sound is making of just like waiting for my drink. I mean, my group of friends actually, like, no surprise, like, we weren't huge drinkers. We didn't go to bars. It was someone's house.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was always... And I love my group of friends. I still do. But I feel like it was always a letdown. I don't think I had the experience you guys had. It was like, what are we doing? And then we'd always end up Matt Henley's basement, which was always the house we would go to. And we would smoke a bowl outside and then usually play NBA 2K. Yeah. And like, and it ended up being like the same thing we did, which was nice. But I think I always remember feeling like, it should be more, though. Like, this should be more.
I mean,
like,
I'll tell you, this is one of the little parts that I remember fondly. Nothing ever came of it. But like, it was also like a moment where like, unrequited crushes could like come back up.
That's what's literally what I was gonna say. That's you can like she's all that yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's just like, oh, like totally I'm now a little. I have some removal.
Now I'm a little heavier.
Maybe. But it's also like, but I'm like
I was
an
actually
adult.
Skinnier freshman.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golden age of gamers. Yeah.
Did you ever hook up with people that you were like? Did it ever actually work, or it was just the thought that you?
It was. It was. I feel like I got me and my buddy Daryl were competing for one girl, and I remember he won, but I was.
You
I
lost
like,
to Daryl?
I lost
and now
to Daryl.
Because I know who he is.
Yeah,
it's not a bad person to lose to.
Yeah, no. That, like, that
it always felt like the moment where it's like the reconnection with the person that you had a flirtation with.
Right, totally.
Especially in high school, you're so everyone's in their structure so much. They're like little social structures.
Yeah. That like you might not even realize you had a crush.
Right, exactly.
Until you left, and then you were like, God, I really like that girl.
I know.
And I just was like talking to her, not it's that other thing too, when you go to college and you talk to a girl and a girl's really nice to you, and then I know this is very heteronormative, but like you talk to someone, they're very nice to you, then you like make out and you're like, oh, that's fun, we had fun talking to each other. And she's like, yeah, well, because I liked you. And I'm like, oh, I was talking to a lot of girls like this in high school, never putting the connection that's like,
oh, they might
talk
like
to
me.
This girl every day for like an hour on the phone.
Yes, they might like me.
They might, and in hindsight, you're like, holy shit, did she like me?
Yeah.
And now that you're in college, you come back and you're like, hey, I got jerked off on the dance floor at McCoy's, so I'm sort of a man now.
Yeah, that's right, a standing jack.
The old standing jack.
Which is also a special at McKay's.
A bucket of rocks, six for $5, rolling rock
and
shorties.
And the chafing comes for free.
You want it over the denim or under the denim?
You know what I want. Over.
Put on the denim glove.
I want a double denim, baby.
Give me the double denim.
Denim tuxedo.
Did that ever work out for you? Did you ever?
It was, no.
We had a name. I forget. Used to have a name for it. We used to call it like a bunch of different things, like, you know, Steve Buscemi's list in Billy Madison.
Yeah, yeah. The
when
best
he'd
thing
like
in the world.
He'd like let people kill.
People to kill.
Yeah, like we had like jokes that it's like you got to go back and you know you got to right the wrongs of the five girls you never made out with now that you're an adult. Yeah,
yes.
And you go back and you're like, I used to think you were cute. She's like, I used to think you were cute too. It's like, what happens? Like, yeah, well, now I got this college boyfriend. I'm like, college boyfriend? Is he home now?
Get in here. Get in here. Where is in here?
I bend over, gape my ass, and they dive in. They like put on a swim cap, like
get in
stretch
here
a little bit, and then dive directly into my open butthole.
That college has been good to you.
Yeah, I want you to walk around inside of me.
I'm a man now. I know about anal play.
I don't think it ever really worked for me. What did work for me was I went to Skidmore for the first 2 years, and I was
just terrible. My dating life in Skidmore was so terrible. I was a mess with anxiety. I only went for girls who didn't want me, specifically.
It's very easy to do that.
That's all I did for 2 years, just obsessed. I hooked up once. I think I had sex once in 2 years. But then I went to visit Skidmore after a semester at NYU, and I hooked up multiple times on the visit.
Yes. So
playing those things of being... Because I started hooking up a little more at NYU, and I had some confidence, and then I did that.
But you also know that you're leaving.
Right.
I also know part of the fun, too. That's the best part about the show.
And then I just straight up was like, you know, I really liked you. Not that that's a cool line.
But, yeah, no, but
I was just like, but that confidence of just being like that, and it was like, all right, cool, let's make out.
And also recognizing that someone may have liked you, and you didn't ever know that because you were talking. Because you have no self-esteem, so you're like, the reason this woman is talking to me is for pity, because totally. She talks to everyone, because blah,
she
blah,
likes
blah.
My friend, I'm just here, everyone is lonely and scared. They're just, I mean, I regret my first 2 years of Skidmore so much because of that, because I was like, I left so much on the table and just followed girls who were brutal to me and told me just straight up they didn't like me, but then I would go back and it would happen sometimes. So.
Yeah, I had a couple of summers back home. My summer in between, after my sophomore year, I was single and I checked some boxes. I went back.
Pun intended?
I actively pursued people that I had crushes on in high school.
And it worked.
Like, now it's great. Time. I'm going to just reach out to some friends. And be like,
well, also because all of the stakes
I'm a Jones Beach lifeguard and a bartender at a cool bar on Long Island.
Your two jobs. That's like essentially being like, I'm in Van Halen.
Yeah. Island, too, it's like,
you're qualified to run for government.
Those are two, that's a celebrity during the day on the beach and a celebrity at night at the bar. Like, those are the two coolest. I think it's better than being the fucking bassist for Metallica, is what you did, is it gets more ass.
What are you doing tomorrow? Oh, we're thinking about going to the beach. You should go to Field 6. Come to Field 6. I'll stop by. And then I'll let you go as deep as you want. One time, Tiffany, before we were dating, when we were just friends, her and her boyfriend and some of their friends were going to the beach. And we were kind of like flirty friends, but we were like, we're going to be at the beach. What field? And I was like, oh, I'll come over and say what's up to you. So they're like two fields away. I'm in my peak. I jog over with just sunglasses and a Speedo with my work uniform on.
You wore Speedos in this job?
Oh, yeah. Whistle on
Just out of requirement or desire?
Out of honestly ease. It was just ease because no resistance in the water. And it didn't, you get just better tan lines.
How many people did you save?
Tons.
Yes.
Did
you really?
Here's the thing. You're rescuing distressed swimmers mostly.
Sure. How many people needed to be saved?
I've done, I would say over 100 rescues.
That's wild. In five summers. All my years at the Jersey Shore, I don't think I saw more than two of the lifeguards go in and pull someone.
It just happens. Yeah. It happens in
a bunch
big
of
waves.
Jones Beach.
Pun intended. When there's a rip current one day, you can maybe have 25 rescues that day.
Wow.
But then go 4 days with no waves, everyone's kind of just bopping around.
Right.
But also Jones Beach, Field 6 and Field 4 is where buses and families go to. Field 4 is swimmers. Yeah, Field 4 is a group of people from the city in jeans with belts on.
Yeah.
Right.
Diving into
way
the ocean.
Down.
Yes. Yeah, way down. You're like, I couldn't even swim in that and I'm a pro.
Yeah. And you are a pro.
Oh my
and
God.
Thank God you had the Speedo on.
And then you go to the beach. I'm at the beach all day long in macking on
you
chicks.
You had a good body then?
I had a great body. Yeah. And we were just walking around talking. And I was still, here's the worst part, I was still the fattest lifeguard. But I looked so fucking good. And my friend of mine pointed that out. He's like, remember we used to call you fat back then? And pointed to the picture. And I'm like, don't remind me I am that. But I would we would walk around and I bartended Wednesday and Sunday nights. And I would be with my friends, they would all my lifeguard friends would come Wednesdays and Sunday nights because we would just walk around the beach and go, you got to come to McKeeb's on Wednesday night.
God.
You got to come to McKeeb's. And
that's
these girls
amazing.
Are like, we should go. The lifeguard says he's a bartender there. And just just
God.
Invite 100, fill a fucking place up with a target rich environment.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was a great summer.
That sounds
and then
delightful.
Also the next summer I was with my girlfriend Tiffany. And she would come down to the beach and visit. And then you have your girl is like, you want to come visit me at work? I don't know. It's the beach and I have 3 hours off a day.
Yeah.
So I can
and
actually hang out with you.
That's the beginning when you're super horny for each other. Too.
Yeah, it's you're excited to be around each other. Now it's like, I'll see you on, where are you going?
Just let me go to the beach alone.
I'll see you third quarter.
Nah.
I'll see you in bed. You're still sleeping in bed with us?
Oh, my summer job was working in the... the mail room of Merrill Lynch.
Ooh.
Oof.
A lot of...
Not a lot of girls there. A
lot of just paper cuts.
Yeah.
In the city, though?
Nope. Long Island.
Oh, which one? Where's the one in Long Island?
There's Merrill Lynch Long Island branch.
Yeah.
Where everyone goes to kill themselves.
There's one in Woodmere.
Merrill Lynch yourself.
I do like that.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
What was yours? Did you have a summer job?
Yeah, I worked at a place called Hope's Cookies, which was right by the Villanova campus. So that was just like pretty hot central. And then it was connected to a place called Peace of Pizza, like the peace symbol, which is the most disgusting pizza. And it was all like, it was like barbecue chicken pizza, but it was like so sweet and gross.
It was like the, what's the Two Boots? It was like a Two Boots.
It was
level.
A way worse Two Boots, and yeah. I don't like Two Boots.
I just learned this about Two Boots. Do you know what? That guy was a filmmaker, and he was trying to finance like his movie, and he started selling pizza to finance his movie, and the pizzas were so much more successful than his like career as a filmmaker that he was just gave up on being a filmmaker. But that's why all the pizzas are named after actors.
Yes, and then that's why they're both it was a theater because it was
the one in East Village was attached.
Because now it's the Beast. Now it's UCB.
Yeah, exactly. That was their I think their second location.
That was because they had the Pioneer Theater before that. Yeah.
No, that was the second Two Boots. The first one was
In the West Village.
In the West Village. Yeah.
Yes. That's fucking...
But that was their dream, was to, like, basically, like, we have a pizza place, but what we really want to be is theater people, like, movie people. And so, like, that's how it got... That's
but this pizza is so weird. It's going to sell. We have all this sand on the bottom of it.
I love the sand.
I love the corn
The sand's
meal.
The only thing I like about it.
That's the only redeeming thing about that Two Boots Pizza is that they do the cornmeal
crust.
The
corn sand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Love
corn sand.
Oh, love corn sand.
I just get stuck in my teeth.
I like the sandy bottoms of pizza.
I like feeling like I'm chewing on dirt.
can you run that pizza through some sand, baby?
I just worked at a shitty cookie place.
And I would make my kids be lifeguards because I'm like, there's not a better summer job.
That's
it's like
good.
I was making like when I was at Jones Beach lifeguard, I was making like $17 an hour.
Well, which I is mean, like, hope so. You should because like, you're saving lives. Yeah, right.
But it's like that's really good money.
Oh,
for
yeah.
So much so that when I graduated college, Doug, you'll like this story. When I graduated college, I got a
money.
I got a PA job at Best Week Ever, low money. But I worked 10-hour shifts every Saturday and Sunday for that whole summer at the beach.
Really?
So I was putting in 7 days of consecutive work, and then I had the 2 weeks by Memorial Day off because of the gig.
Yeah.
Because of freelancing. And then I picked up 2 weeks straight of lifeguarding there.
Wow.
So I worked the summer I graduated college, I worked every single day.
So
for
I'm
minimum
like this because
10
I'm proud of you for all the work you did?
No, because I fucking was just a cash grab.
Yeah.
So, and then
that's
I.
Pretty impressive.
Wait. Yeah. So you think Doug is going to be excited by how much money you made in high school?
Well, it's...
I would have been.
The fact that I was after it. And like just... this was college. So my first
Where's
job.
Where's that? Go get him now.
I know. I wish I had that now.
Can you pick up a lifeguarding?
Don't even joke that I've had countless conversations about like my midlife crisis.
You
will
know,
be I'm like
be
a part-time Malibu lifeguard.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that'd be pretty fun.
Like knew me on Baywatch was a real lifeguard.
Oh god!
Oh yeah,
and he did like 150 episodes of the show.
That's insane. Yeah, that could be you. Why didn't you get in the fucking Baywatch movie?
It's fucked up that I was not in the Baywatch. Me and Anders talk about because Anders was a lifeguard and a swimmer.
Oh
and we
really?
Were like, that's the movie we wanted to be in so bad.
You already got that script ready to go.
Well, that's the other thing. Baywatch totally eats the lunch of Boys of Summer, or you're out too far.
Yeah.
So you can
do it again. Now it's a genre.
Hey, lifeguard movies a genre. Do you have to pee?
I have to pee so badly, but I also have my legs asleep, so I need to get up. But I do have to pee a lot.
Well, we could wrap it up. I feel like we almost talked about Thanksgiving Eve for 10 to 15 minutes out of that. That's a high hit rate for High and Mighty.
Yeah.
What else?
What's this? I always leave High and Mighty being like, is this interesting?
No, it's not. like, I don't know. This is solely for us.
It's like comforting to have noise on while you're cooking.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. And then let's talk more importantly. Guys, while you're listening to this, don't even take your phone out of your pocket, go on iTunes and purchase Most Likely.
Rent. Because, I mean, who really? You're not a maniac.
Yeah.
You can
go to a Redbox, smash it open, take as many Most Likely to Murder DVDs
as
you
can. Make sure to wear gloves because you do not want to get the germs from the Redbox onto your fingers.
But I've seen it now twice in two different iterations. I love the movie. It's very fun. Stars Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Adam Pally from the Twix commercials in the early 2000s.
He told me how much you made from that. It was crazy.
It was a lot of money. And Vincent Kartheiser,
Pete from Mad Men.
Pete Campbell.
Cameos from Hasan Minhaj and Billy Eichner.
John Reynolds from Search Party, who's fantastic in it,
who's good in everything.
I have a chin beard in it.
And I was about to say, the one person we're not mentioning who's in the cast, probably above all these guys on the call sheet, is fucking the man right here, dude.
Yeah.
Dwayne, right? Is it Dwayne or Daryl? I'm in my head about him. Dwayne.
And Dan directed it. And we wrote it together. It would mean a lot, guys, if you just go check it out. Support independent comedy.
It's really fun that you guys were able to do something like this, because it is something that really covers all of your skill sets of, like, you have connections to good, talented actors that you're friends with. You're both very funny writers. You are becoming a director and now are one. And you are a good actor. So you get to do all of your... And it's like, watching you guys do it, it's like, if I didn't know that you were two of the hardest working, most prolific guys in the business, I would find your story inspiring. Because I'd be like, maybe I can do it. But instead, I'm like, don't think I'll ever work as hard as Dan and Doug.
Well, thank you. I know that means a lot to me.
That means something.
Yeah. It's really funny. It's pretty dark. Very cool.
And well, home for the holidays, Thanksgiving.
And this
movie.
Is the reason we're talking about this.
Right.
Whole episode.
Oh, yeah. The connection is it takes place over Thanksgiving weekend.
About someone coming home.
Yes. On the night before Thanksgiving. It's set on Long Island.
That's huge for a lot of these listeners.
I know. Yeah. So it is, it really, really is like, it's all from like Doug and I's personal experience of like these like little suburban towns coming home for Long Island Thanksgiving. And every location is like completely directly based on a real place in my hometown in Hewlett.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on. And what if people want to tweet at us there, Thanksgiving Eve, either like what they do on Big Wednesday or what their plans are, let us
Coined
know.
It.
Yeah, at Gregor DA.
At Gregor Corp.
At Gregor Corp
and at the Doug Mand.
The Doug Mand.
And don't forget about Duty Calls with Doug Mand on HeadGum.
Check it out.
Just poop stories. And it's pretty fun. Gabriel has been on.
I love that podcast.
And we've got a lot of stories and it's a lot of fun.
If there is a person in the world who has more shit stories than me, I'm sitting across from him. Or him, right now. If there are two guys who have more shit stories than me, I'm sitting with both of them in the room.
Oh, we just had a bad one on this trip, actually.
We haven't talked about it.
Oh, yeah. It was what a shameful moment.
We were going to an interview. We were doing
the AOL build.
We were doing a live, like, in-studio session, that the only one that, like, really they wanted Gregor and I for. And it was, we were going to be on camera. Gregor is in a real bad way. We get picked up by a car, and we don't know the PR person who's picked us up. And Gregor is, we're sitting in traffic, and Gregor is immediately like, I have to shit.
And we are
25 minutes from where we need to be, and he looks pale.
Like the sweaty pale.
And then he asks me, he's like, where could I go around here? Which is a question I get a lot because of my show.
That's an expert.
So I did do. I open up my app. Yeah. I open up just the map and I'm like, all right, this sushi place, it's 11:30. It looks like it's probably just opening now. Gregor, without even saying anything to the people, just jumps out of the car at a red light.
I just run.
In the middle of the street, near only residential.
Because half of it's the panic of being trapped in the car. At least
moving is like progress, you know what I mean?
The car is not moving. At least I can run. And frankly, like, I don't know the driver. I don't know the lady that we're with.
Yeah.
And like the panic of shitting myself in front of strangers like that is much deeper than shitting myself alone in the street.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Really, really,
no, he just hops out in the middle. No explanation. Closes the door. Leaves me in the car with these two people. And I was like, yeah, he's not feeling so well. Just pull over to the side and wait. We were so long and so silent in that car. As we wait,
and
for
I gotta you. Tell you, I gotta. So this is what's happening in that moment. So I, first of all, like, I run to the corner. I know that you recommend this sushi place, but I see there's a Subway sandwich shop like next door.
Oh, I would have been the first one to tell you no. Subway doesn't have bathrooms.
Well,
dumb idiot, this, you should have listened to
me.
I know, but
if I know one thing, yeah, it's,
I know. Seriously, if you don't, as my writing partner, if you don't take,
I'm
one
so
thing
sorry.
For
I'm
me.
So sorry, but I like I because it's somehow in my head. I'm like, well, a public chain restaurant has to be more comfortable and accustomed than like
that.
A nice sushi restaurant.
Right. Oh, you're so wrong,
and
especially
so,
in New York City.
I know, and so I run into Subway. He's like, no bathrooms, and I'm like, what? Where?
Yeah, God, let me get one of those bags.
6-inch. Yeah, just open up that footlong.
Just give me two slices of bread, please. Wipe your ass with the Asiago cheese.
And I run out, and I'm like with I'm just like in the street and I'm like, I know the sushi place is there, but like the guy said, there's a bathroom next door. And I'm like, oh, okay. And you were 100% right. But it was, but it's very scary. It's very scary because like they know there's a hostess at the front and I don't know where the bathroom is here. So that's when I can like imagine where the bathroom is. It's easier for me to like pretend like going to meet my friend. Gotta keep walking. Yeah. But I have no idea where to go.
Like, excuse me, where's the restroom? Also, I'll take a seaweed salad and a Philly roll. I'll pick it up in 20.
So I have to ask, I'm like, can I please use your restroom? And the guy's like, go ahead, it's downstairs. So I go, and it takes a long time. This was a bad, like, shit. This was not...
I know, I was in the car waiting. There. As we were, like getting later and later for our AOL thing.
And I'm like, and I get back up, and I'm truly hoping that you left without me. Like, I really, really was like, I cannot go
just
and face
don't
these people again.
Like, you came back. There was so much shame.
I
was happy for you though.
Thank you.
Because I know
thank
how bad it is.
Yeah. It was
well, here's
bad.
The thing. That is the happiest ending that story's going to have.
I know. Yeah, that's it. I know.
And you got that great seaweed salad.
Yesterday, I did Drunk History on Tuesday, and before that, I was like, had like a weird stomach thing going on. I was like, all right, I'm going to go to the gym. I go to the gym and I do one set of squats, like a warm up set. And I'm like, my stomach feels weird.
Squats
and I'm like, squatting is like
yourself thing.
Putting weight on my shoulders. And I'm like, all right, I'll do another warm up set, see how I feel. And there's like five people around me at the gym. One person who's like, how many sets do you have left? I'm like, I got like five sets left. I take the bar off. I do like one squat and go, put it back up and I go, whoa. And I just like, and for everyone around me, I'm have a headphones on and like, and I just like rack the bar, grab my backpack and just briskly walk away. And I disappear for 20 minutes, come back up and there's like all new people in the bar. And I'm like, hey, can I work in? Just acting like nothing happened. There are some people who know, like, I know what this guy was up to. Just eyeing the needle into the fucking 24 hour fit. And those bathroom floors are just wet because people are coming out of the shower.
24 hour fitness bathrooms are rough.
They're rough.
It's everyone's worst smells coming out.
Yeah.
There's crazy shits that are happening. There's creatine shits, sweaty shits. There's BO.
There's people.
People's pubes stink. Everything is just bad.
Everyone's got their worst stink.
And they're the sweatiest. I feel like the wood of the benches is just so with everyone's ass. Like butt
those
sweat.
Old
like,
hairy balls. Yeah.
My friends are like, the guys that work out there are like, we should steam every once in a while. I'm like, not at this fucking place.
Steaming there is literally just breathing in liquid pubes.
It's like getting a humidifier in your bedroom that someone has urinated in.
Like a thousand people.
Yeah, you're lucky if one person. Yeah.
There's nothing worse than getting into a mildewy like sauna.
Oh yeah. And then you're like heat it up and activate it.
Bring it to life.
Please. Oh, hey, this dog shit smells terrible. Should we saute it? Yeah.
can we just pop it in the microphone for a minute?
I'll hot box that duty.
Can we just freshen it up a little bit with a little quick nuke? Nuke the Duke, maybe? All right, guys. As always, at Gabrus, rate me 5 stars, throw some in the comments, listen to Action Boys, listen to Raised by TV, and make sure to check out Most Likely to Murder. Let's do it. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.